In Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is also always in invocatory verses like that. And he chants the names of so many great personalities, you know, and he says, simply by remembering these personalities, everything becomes auspicious. So where is this? That's past the preface and before the introduction. Is that where it is? Over the hill and past the house to grandmother's house. Here we go.
Page 1.
What do we find in a preface? What things do writers usually include in the preface? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. There you go. Why the author wrote the book? I wrote this book because there was no good book for calculus and for high school students.
The intended audience.
Yeah, and it's intended for high school students who've already finished analytical geometry. The author's qualifications. I'm a high school teacher in mathematics at Mudge High School in Bandana, Ode, Idaho. Yeah. That's in the introduction usually. Yeah. And then the circumstances. So my students and I wrote this along with the help of other faculty members in 1999, like this and that. So the purpose of the book. The qualifications of the student, the qualifications of the author, the reader, and the circumstances, generally. It's a preface, you know. So actually, it's an important document, important part of the book, otherwise you can't figure out what's the purpose this book was written? What's expected of me? Well, actually, I don't have those qualifications. No wonder I find the book difficult. Oh, there's another book before this I'm supposed to read. Oh, okay. Yeah. So it's all in the preface, in the introduction. Okay, all together.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Gyananjano Shulokoyo Chakshiran Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Karahmayam Dadati Svaparantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavams Chan Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Ditam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitam Shcha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindo Dina Bando Jagat Pate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kantanamo Stute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrinda Vinishvari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadaya Shri Vasadi Gaurabhakta Vrindan Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srimad Bhagavad Gita, as it is, ki. So I happen to have it right here in my 1967 briefcase. My file of important things. Okay. Here's the file of educational materials. Okay. Now, in this, we're probably going to find. Yes, there it is. You see, that's pretty quick. Faster than your laptop. You used to be slowly booting up here. A list of 108 important shlokas from Bhagavad Gita. And it has chapter 7, 3, 4, 5, 7, 14, 15, 16, 19, 25, 26, 27, 28. So, a lot from. Chapter 7 is one of the biggest. Yeah, like that. Let's look at 3, 4, 5. Why not? Okay, let's go to today's verse. Today's verses are, I was told, are the last two verses in chapter 7. Let's go to the last two verses in chapter 7, which are text numbers, 29 and 30? Yeah. Text number 29 and text number 30. 30. If you're from New York. You ready? Okay. Piece of peach. Jaramarana Mokshaya. Mama Shritya Yatantite. Jaramarana Mokshaya. Mama Shritya Yatantiye. Jaramara Mokshaya. Mama Shritya Yatantiye. Yeah. Te Brahma Tadvidu Krishna. Adyatmam karma chakilam. Moliye. Jaramarana Mokshaya. Mama Shritya Yatantiye. Te Brahma Tadvidu Krishnam. Adyatmam karma chakilam. Adyatma. Jaramarana Mokshaya. Mama Shritya Yatantiye. Te Brahma Tadvidu Krishnam. Adyatmam Karma Chakilam. Maharajis, ladies, damas estimadas. Jaramarana Mokshaya. Mama Shritya Yatantiye. Ibrahama Tadvidu Krishnam. Adhyatma Karma Chakhilam. Jaramara Mokshaya. Mama Shritya Yatantiye. Ibrahama Tadvidu Krishnam. Yatma Karma Chakilam. Jara. What does Jara mean? Old age. Mara. Death. Yeah, Jara, Mara. Mokshaya. For the purpose of liberation. Mam. Yeah, me. Krishna. Right, yeah. Ashritya. Taking shelter. Yatanti, endeavor, jay, all those who. Yeah, so it's pretty clear. Yeah. Te Brahma. Such persons. Brahman. Tat, actually that. Vidhu, they know. Krishnam, everything. Adhyatmam. transcendental.
Transcendental.
Karma.
Karma.
Activities.
Activities.
Cha.
Cha.
Also.
Also.
Akilam.
Akilam.
Entirely.
Entirely.
Shrimad Bhagavad Gita ki.
Yeah.
Cha. Bhagavad Gita. Intelligent persons who are endeavoring for liberation from old age and death take refuge in me in devotional service. They are actually Brahman because they entirely know everything about transcendental activities. They're actually Brahman. Purport. Birth, death, old age, and disease. Birth, death, old age, and diseases affect the material body, but not the spirit soul. There is no birth, death, old age, and disease for the spiritual body. So, one who attains a spiritual body becomes one of the associates of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and engages in devotional service. He is really liberated. Aham Brahmasmi. I am spirit. It is said that one should understand that he is Brahman. Spirit soul. Spirit soul? Oh, came out pretty good. This Brahman conception of life is also in devotional service, as described in this verse. The pure devotees are transcendentally situated on the Brahman platform, and they know everything about transcendental activities. Four kinds of impure devotees who engage themselves in transcendental service of the Lord achieve their respective goals. So, of course, that's one of the prominent parts of this chapter. Long purports, Krishna talks about four kinds of people who approach him. They're devotees, but they have, you know, certain motives like that. What are the four motives they have there, Mr. Gary? You know? Anyone. Why do they come to Krishna? They come to Krishna for?
Knowledge.
Money.
Relief from material distress.
And they're curious. Yeah. So four kinds of impure devotees engage themselves in the transcendental service of the Lord and achieve their respective goals. And by the grace of the Supreme Lord, when they are fully Krishna conscious, they actually enjoy spiritual association with the Supreme Lord. By the grace of the Supreme Lord. By the divine grace of the Supreme Lord. But those who are worshippers of demigods never reach the Supreme Lord. So it's also mentioned a lot here too. There's a lot of discussion of people deviating to worship of devatas. Anya devataha. Right? A lot of discussion of that. Yeah. Never reach the Supreme Lord in his spiritual planet. Even the less intelligent Brahman realized persons cannot reach the supreme planet of Krishna Loka, known as Goloka Vrindavan. Only persons who perform activities in Krishna consciousness, Mam Ashritya. That's in this verse here. Yeah? So somebody is strict. You know, translator may say, that doesn't say devotional service. So, Prabhupada is giving in translation within context. You know. Taking a shelter, ashraya, yatanti, endeavoring, yatanti, it's naturally an active process. At the active process, you have to take shelter, you have to run after somebody, you have to stay with them like that. You can do it, but you can't just go spacing out, walking here and there in the jungle, and leave your guide behind, right? Get eaten by tigers. Yeah. Only persons who perform activities in Krishna consciousness, Mama Shritya, are actually entitled to be called Brahman. Because they are actually endeavoring to reach the Krishna planet. Such persons have no misgivings about Krishna. And they are factually Brahman. Those who are engaged in worshipping the form of the Archa, the form or Archa of the Lord, or who are engaged in meditation on the Lord simply for liberation from material bondage, also know, by the grace of the Lord, the purports of Brahman, Adi Bhuta, etc., as explained in the next chapter. So Prabhupada's starting to give a nice summary here of the chapter, like that. You know? And Bhagavad Gita is a very nice book. You know, he passes out now, I guess. Haven't enough, do we, everybody?
We have
20
copies.
Huh?
We have 20.
Oh, okay. Oh, this is, what is this? Oh, this is the whole thing. Oh, okay. So, yeah. Yeah. So this is the Anjana's, at the bottom it says, Pastor, Hare Krishna. Actually, these two verses kind of fit together. Yeah. Kind of? Huh? Yeah, but now it's. Is it? Thank you. Thank you. It took a lot of effort to do this. Okay. So this is the bottom. It says here, Anjana Sutta Academy. Who's Anjana? Oh my God. Hanuman's mother. So who's Anjana Sutta? Who's the son of the mother of Hanuman? Who's in Grant's tomb? Yeah. Okay, yeah. So this is our academy, Anjana Sutta Academy, and this is the this page here is the Bhaktivedanta Library, revised August 27, 2004, which is today. We did today. While you were working at your office, we were working in our office. For information, contact us at groups.yahoo.com, group Anjana Sutta, Anjana Sutta. If you go there, you can probably find out or join our group. We have a lot more stuff like this. The study guides, things like that. So, this is a summary of Bhagavad Gita. So here we have, what's the heart of our Bhaktivedanta Library? What's the heart? You can see a little heart there. You know? So, Srimad Bhagavatam. Idam Bhagavata Nama Puranam Brahma Samitam. It's the essence of all the Vedas. Nigama Kalpa Turogalitam Phalam. It's the essence. It's the heart. Not only is it the best of all, a summary of all Vedic literatures, but it's the very best, like that. So we're presenting it that way. And of course, we're talking about Veda. And Veda means knowledge. We also include the Bible, the Quran, so many things like that. So we have here Veda. And then there's four Vedas, principally the Rig, the Sama, the Yajur, and the Atharva. And then there are Angas, or branches, like that, limbs. Ayurveda, medicine, Vastu Veda, architecture, Jyotirveda, astrology, Dhanurveda, political science, Gandharva Veda, music, fine arts, and then got a semicolon there where it shouldn't be, and Ganita, which is mathematics, and the Mahabharata and the Ramayana, yeah, like that. And then you go upwards, then out of this ocean of Veda, then Prabhupada gave us the Isopanishad. All these are available in the gift store, I think, right? Yeah. So Isopanishad is a part of what Veda? Yeah, it's right there. See, hard to tell, Yajur or Atharva, but it's the Yajurveda. And it's a portion of that. It's Upanishad. It's a very philosophical text like that. So everything else we have is Shruti. It's realized knowledge like that for the sages, whatever, put together from different sources. But the Upanishads and Vedas are considered to be... it's a Smriti. Smriti. The Vedas and Upanishads are Shruti. That which is heard like directly from Krishna. Yeah? So on. So some people consider that Shruti is all that's important. Everything else is kind of secondary speculations like that. But we don't think that. So anyway, Prabhupada gave us the Isopanishad. So you read that, you're actually reading Veda. You quote from that, you actually know the Vedas directly. And then after that, we go to Bhagavad Gita as it is. Right? And Prabhupada said the Bhagavad Gita is the ABCs. The ABCs of spiritual life. Right? So if you're doing good, if you can learn your kakaga, right? Kakaga. If you can learn the basic letters in Sanskrit, it's quite a bit. Bhagavad Gita is a very wonderful book. We'll see more tonight in these two purports. How Prabhupada is presenting this Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, everything else. But this is all within a perspective like that. Yeah? You have to understand the perspective. Yeah? So Bhagavad Gita as it is, and then going straight up. Then we come, after we get Bhagavad Gita down, what is karma, what are the three modes of material nature, what is a living entity, what is the Supreme Lord, what is a super soul, what are all these things like that. Then we come to, ready, the basic principles, ready to go on to Srimad Bhagavatam. Many people, they just kind of stay with Bhagavad Gita forever and lose their taste. That's progressive. Once you understand the basic principles of Bhagavad Gita, go ahead. Yeah, you can go ahead, you can see Krishna in the Rasa Lila in Bhagavad Gita if you want to. But it's very difficult. It's not designed for that. It's designed to take you over a certain point from understanding karma, jnana, and karma yoga, like that. Yeah, it's designed to take you to that point. Karma, a karmi is somebody who follows the rules and regulations of ethical and moral life so they can get theirs. Yeah. I did this justly, now I deserve this. And still you feel, yeah, you follow all the rules and regulations of your religion, everything else, but still you're full of so much, you know, selfishness and everything else, you know. So God accepts that. You know, if you do that, you get wisdom. And then finally you come to understanding, okay, let me do all these things. I'm attached to doing them, but for Krishna, for God. Raise my kids for God. You know, I'm attached to being a mother. Can't give it up. You know, attached to being a warrior. Can't give it up. But results for Krishna. Results for Krishna. You're not for me. It's easier to give up the fruits of your labor than it is to give up your mode of working. This is a very subtle fact. Right? Yeah? Somebody may be, you know, a lady working very hard in all kinds of devotional activities, great activities, but she's just feeling it's all kind of useless unless I have a family and take care of my kids, my husband, my place in the society. Then, this is real work. You know? Or like Arjuna. Until he has, you know, some people to take care of, to direct them, engage them like that, to serve them, you always feel it's all kind of like, you know, get a life, buddy. Chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, you know. You know? So this is he's in the level of karma yoga. He can do that. He can't give up his mode of working, right? But he can give up the fruits of the work. Duryodhana, he can't give up the fruits of working or the mode, either one. He's attached. He's got to enjoy the results. He's got to ride on the big elephant with all the beautiful girls throwing flowers at him and chanting Jaya Jaya Duryodhana, Duryodhana. Yeah. Okay. So when you understand the basic principles of Bhagavad Gita a little bit, then go ahead to Srimad Bhagavatam. And there you'll see how Prabhupada uses Bhagavad Gita. Right? You know, don't go on practicing piano skills for your entire life. You can do that, and actually you can become very, very expert at that. But the process is usually, once you get the key of B minor flat, okay, if you're reading Tchaikovsky's, you know, I don't know, reading Monkey and Piggy's Swine Lake or something, you know. So it's a great composition like that. And so it says, okay, key of B major flat. And so you're playing, and it's naturally you're going to the right keys because it's part, right notes, because it's part of that key, and you're used to playing in that key, you know. But then it changes to A sharp. And then you just naturally go into that key, and all the keys fit together like that. That's where you learn the scales, because people change the scale. You know? So, Srimad Bhagavatam, now we'll see how Prabhupada uses all these verses. He doesn't quote all the verses. Practically speaking, they have 108 here, but the Bhakti Shastri program is only on 50, like that. You know. So, yeah, but go ahead to Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is maybe, I don't know, it's like something about like, 18 volumes, what do I have? Maybe like that. It's like about 30 Bhagavad Gitas. Yeah? There's so many stories. Just the same thing. It's this one story, this one incident. In Bhagavad Gita, you find so many stories in Bhagavatam. You know, with more detail like that. We're saying the same thing again. In the purports, you'll see how Prabhupada uses Bhagavad Gita like that. Yeah? And then postgraduate study is Chaitanya Charitamrita. Right? And the Chaitanya Charitamrita is Lord Chaitanya showing us how to read Srimad Bhagavatam. He'll take one verse with Supadamana Maharaj and just chew on it, right? And open it up and experience all the content, the ecstasy. Every word is in a certain position, certain feeling, you know, like that, you know, in livingness, you know. And then after that, we have other publications, many publications by the Goswamis. And the BBT, the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust, now has, for example, the Brihat Bhagavatamrita. You know, which is by Sanatan Goswami, which again is Srimad Bhagavatam and from another angle like that. So many works like that. Yeah. And then related to all these, the heart is Srimad Bhagavatam. But the Krishna book? What is the Krishna book? Yeah, it's the 10th canto. Just kind of summarized and presented with proper explanation like that. Then we have below the Krishna book, we have what? And what is Light of the Bhagavat? Yeah, it's one chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Which chapter?
20.
I think it's 20th.
20th.
Nice. Last time it was over. Yeah. Okay. And then also we have Srimad Bhagavatam lectures. So many. So it's in the next room. You can see it. There's about like 7 volumes, about 800 pages each. You know? Of Srimad Bhagavatam lectures. And you find the same things presented again and again, but you find many, many, many new facts, just exciting new things, you know, details, very interesting. You know. And then also we have the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, down below here, see? No, sorry, the life and teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And what is this? He's printed his little book sometimes.
Introduction.
Yeah, it's the introduction to Srimad Bhagavatam like that. So all these, Srimad Bhagavatam lectures, Krishna book, Light of the Bhag, Life and Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, they're all Srimad Bhagavatam. Yeah. And over then on the right-hand side, then we have literature which covers everything, summary literature. For example, the main one here we have is Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And that's Rupa Goswami's summary of everything, starting from the simple ideas of the Upanishads, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, all the way up to Chaitanya Charitamrita, and after that, to other works like that. So Nectar of Devotion we have is very, it's a summary. It's everything concentrated like that, the essence pulled out. And Nectar of Instruction, got it right here. The more you show. Okay, right here, you got it. Nectar of Instruction, then there's a summary of this summary. So in some ways, so we recommend, also in this general summary type thing, we have morning walks and room conversations by Prabhupada. It's next door. It's about 35 volumes, that room conversations and morning walks recorded. Then we have letters by Prabhupada. You don't have that. You have that too, next door? I didn't see it there.
They're there.
Huh? Oh, okay, they're hidden. Okay, they're hidden away, yeah. And then songs of the Vaishnava Acharyas, like that, Then down below we have your Ever Well Wisher, which is a one-volume and multi-volume biography of Srila Prabhupada's the whole life, showing this, So there's a lot of other, some other smaller books like that, But pretty much this is what we're offering, This is what we're offering, complete knowledge. And there's some people who say, if you put it all together, it's over 100 volumes of literature like that by one person. And some people say, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada didn't give you everything. It's like that. My way is the answer to say, well, thank God. It's like, too much. Or else, even just by chance, he would have had to give me everything. Just by chance. Where's our 5% there? Didn't show up. I did this today. This is Microsoft Word. So any questions then? Yeah.
Can you suggest a order for reading?
Well, this so happens right here. since I was, in college or somebody said, you should write a book. So with the last, if I came back to South America, 4 people within 1 week said it, and some of them, kind of like threateningly. So, okay, so we're doing it. So the first chapter is done. It's called The ABCs, an American Bhagavat Curriculum. And now we're starting on chapter 2 here, which is this, And then we have a seminar on this, kind of like that. But have I got it here? Yeah. Okay. Right here. Kindergarten. In our academy. Everything I ever needed to learn, everything I ever needed to know, I learned in kindergarten. It's a famous book. Everything I ever needed to know, I learned in kindergarten. So, for that, basically, I heard Prabhupada say with his own lips, anybody who chants Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita, Gadadhar, Shiva, Sadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda, and follows it with Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, has achieved the perfection of life. Where does it go here? Just chant Hare Krishna and take Bhagavad Prasadam, and you will become perfect. Nothing else, no other thing needs to be done. You become perfect. So that's it. Just chant Hare Krishna and just take prasadam. Right? And you'll become perfect. Kindergarten. Okay. Now we never lose that. We always never forget that. I always forget it. We try and expand that now. And then what's next? Primary school. So then we're recommending What we recommend from our experience then is your ever well wisher, which is Srila Prabhupada's biography. It's one volume, a small one like that. And you really see how ISKCON developed and everything else like that, and you'll cry a few tears of gratitude, honestly, since what Prabhupada went through. And you see how it's all applied, works, you know, very good. It's easy to read. And then Nectar of Instruction, which is a summary, a philosophical summary of all of our literature from basic ethics and morality through our bhakti yoga on up to the highest perfections of bhakti yoga with Radharani, like that. Then the third thing we recommend is, we just add this, is the life and teachings of Lord Chaitanya. It's also small, it's like 35 pages, so it makes a good primary education for your life and teachings. Yeah. No, that's the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Yeah. The small one, it's a title. It's a title probably gives to that. It's been published as a separate book sometimes. So then you have Prabhupada's biography, you have Lord Chaitanya's biography, practical application, principles of philosophy, and a very good basic literature like that. So that's our primary education. And you should learn songs. You should know Sangsara Davanala Lila Loka, which is our Mangalartik song. Nishingadev prayers, Namaste Narasinghaya. What are the two mantras, should you know? Oh, that's good. Prabhupada's pranams. I haven't got that here. Sai Ravijajal. Yeah, prayers for prasadam at night. And Jai Radha Madhava. So that's what we're including as our suggestion for a good primary education. Okay. You should be able to follow the entire morning program. That's in the Hari Keshmaras. So you should be able to follow the whole morning program in our institution academy like that. Okay, now we got kindergarten, primary, secondary. This is bachelor's degree, brahmachari. Bhagavad Gita, first part of Nectar of Devotion. It's divided in four parts. So the first part of Nectar of Devotion, Isopanishad, and songs from the Vaishnava Acharyas. You should learn the Tulsi Kirtan, Guru Puja. In the morning we sing that. Gaur Aartik, we sing in the evening. And I have Hariharaye Nama, that song. Okay. And be able to lead the entire morning program and cook khichdi and halava. Yeah. Get your bachelor's degree, right? You won't starve to death then, right? Yeah, cook khichdi and halava and hot milk and lead the entire morning program. Okay, now you're get your bhakti shastri. Yeah. It's okay? It's good curriculum? Okay. If, it's actually probably suggested these. In graduate school, we have two levels. One is a master of literature. This is Padapadma, the first two cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam. Overview of Srimad Bhagavatam. And cantos 3 and 4. Probably this is 6, but that's four. That's 4 volumes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 6 volumes. That's 6 volumes of literature. Bhagavad Gita deeper, right? Yeah. Word by word meanings of Sangsara Davanala. Second part of Nectar of Devotion. And you should have a good teaching technique yourself. And you should form your own institution by this time. Okay, start your own school. Graduate school, number 5. Doctor of Literature. Whole Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and all previous texts in depth. You know, like that, so on. Yeah? And probably this said, then you can become guru. And later on, he finishes the last one. And then faculty, postgraduate, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and it goes on like that. Assistant professor, associate professor, full professor, professor emeritus, dean, like that. Yeah, yeah. So, anyway, this is Bhagavad Gita. I mean, I'm saying this because you see, it fits into a whole thing. Because many people just get hung up in Bhagavad Gita as, you know, not going to these other literatures like that. You'll find it there. You won't give it up, but now you start using the thing, right? You know, you're not going to start using the thing, not just. You know, it says that many ships look very, very good in the harbor. But that's not what ships are for, right? You know, ships are supposed to go out and face the waves and take you someplace and do so many things like that. You know, so you should start, you know, taking Bhagavad Gita to these more advanced levels like that and using it. Prabhupada never gives up Bhagavad Gita, right? But he starts using it more and more expertise like that. So any questions? Yes, sir.
Mathematics comes from?
Huh?
Which of the Vedas, Vedic mathematics?
Oh, I don't know exactly. I did my research recently in Vastu Shastra, so I can tell you that. Yeah, it's not a part of Vastu. There's some descriptions in different parts of the Vedas and different histories, like the Ramayana, Mahabharata, you take it from there. But more specifically, there are specific texts, like the Vishvakarma Prakash, the the Maya Dhanava, Maya Sar, you know, like that and so on. You know, going back historically by different authorities and then disappearing. You know, texts don't exist anymore. The commentaries do, but the texts don't. Like that. Yeah. So this is a good point, because actually what we have, most of the Vedas have disappeared, been corrupted by so many different influences like that. Yeah. So to really understand these, Prabhupada's saying you have to understand an association of professors who've passed it down correctly. And it's not just a matter of having books that cite each other, but actually practical experience, that you actually get some result from these things. Right? And not just learning the thing, but the Bhagavad Gita, what is he saying here in this text? Yeah. What do you want to get free from? Right? In this text we were studying today, Krishna is offering you that you're saying by getting this knowledge, you should acquire two things. Huh? Yeah, you should get freedom from old age and death, like that, you know. We all know about old age, right? Some of us here, right? Everybody over 50, raise your right hand. It's a test here to see, like, you know, if you still remember which hand is your right hand. You know? Yeah. Yeah. What was it? 50 is the youth of old age. 50 is the old age of youth. And 60 is the youth of old age. Yeah. So what you discover by this yoga, I'm actually experiencing this now. You know? By this yoga, it's actually not discouraging. It's actually quite encouraging. Prabhupada says that old age, jara, is a good friend for a devotee, right? Yeah, because it pushes you to stop taking your strength and so on from these temporary material influences. Right? You know, we're putting sugar into the senses, and the senses are acting very powerfully, and the mind is going along with them like that. But past 50, this doesn't work anymore. You can put all the sugar you want in, and nothing happens. You can't digest it. The liver stops working, or whatever. You can do that, you know. So nothing else, you have to start going to subtler, you know, physical power. Yeah? And then it takes you more and more in. And past 50, the prana, air, predominates and starts predominating the body. Before that, there's three elements. Kapha, pitta, vayu, mucus, fire, air, like that, bile. And so past 50, the prana starts to predominate. So you start becoming more sensitive to things like cold and things like that. And you haven't got the bulk anymore. You know, the earth and so on in your body. And it keeps on predominating more and more until finally it just squeezes you right out of the body. That's the idea. You know, or off the navel, you know. You can leave through your anus, you know. Or you can leave through your Brahmarandra, or you in many ways out of the body, you know? Like that. Yeah? And so we're practicing to understand how to do this. Yeah. And so even karate, from my background in karate, you discover this person who's doing it properly, he doesn't become, useless as he gets older. It appears that way. What's the guy, the founder of Aikido? You know, one policeman, very powerful young guy, and maybe 35 years old, very powerful and martial artist and everything else, and he was in Taiwan or something, Japan. And Masayama? His name. He's the founder of Aikido. An old man by then, you know. And he heard he was like this great teacher, and he went there and saw a guy, an old man, really walk around like that, you know. And so then he said, "Well, I came here to learn a little something from you." A little arrogant, he said, "Oh yes," you know. He said, "Yes." So, well, let me go to your police academy. Maybe we can show everybody. He said, "Well, all right, come on," you know. So they went there, and he said, "Okay, I want you all to try and hold me down." So he was lying on the floor. And he had one person for each leg, one for each arm, and one in his chest, holding him down like that. He said, "Now you try to hold me down." He said, "Oh my God." And this young guy was 35-year-old guy, was kind of embarrassed to have doing this to an old man like that. And then Masayama just stood up and tossed all six of these guys on the floor like that. And he said, "Wow, I hope you don't have to arrest anybody really, really tough like that. I hope you haven't got to arrest somebody really tough someday like that." You know. So they were all very embarrassed, and he paid his obeisances and said, "My master, please let me be your student." Not that. See, this is at the level of prana. What to speak of the atma, right? The atma, you know, a lot of endeavor. So in the purport, you know, let's go on to the next purport too. In my commentary, okay. Next verse. So, well, one question here. What does adi atma mean? Adi Adhyatma. Is it Adi Atma? Yeah. So how does it break down here the way Prabhupada's translating it? His translation, the word by word translation, is transcendental. But I'm sure that's a contextual translation. Adi Atman.
Adhyatma is spiritual.
Huh?
Adhyatma is spiritual thing.
Well, kind of. It can mean endeavor, it can mean mind, it can mean senses, it can mean the soul.
That's the Atman.
Huh? Yeah, this is Atman. Adi.
Adi would mean pride.
Yes, Adhyatma. But by Sandhi, it's Adi Atma, isn't it?
If only we had some professor of Sanskrit.
Or two or three. They could argue for.
Someone with a doctorate, you know.
They could argue for. I'm trying to get him over here. No, he's a theologist. You know, he's just,
that's his master.
Yeah. No, it's kind of important because you see in the next verse, Krishna's going to talk about Adi Bhuta, Adi Yagna, like that, Adi Dhaiva. So I think this is the two texts are related. This is Adi Atman.
Adi means supposing or on top, above.
Yeah.
Adi. So like Adi Dhaiva, on the presiding deity or the one presiding over Dhaiva, the divine realm, Adi Atma, presiding over the Atma.
Yeah. Yeah, Adi Atman, transcendental activities of the soul, activities, superior activities. Yeah, it's Krishna. A lot of times in the purports, you start looking like this. You understand why Prabhupada is saying things, like that. Okay, repeat after me. Sa'adi Bhuta. This is the next text. Sa'adi Daiva Mam. Sa'adi Bhuta Adi Daiva Mam. Sa'adi yagnam chaje vidu parayana kale api chamam te vidur yukta cheta saha. What should we translation? Loudly.
Those in full consciousness of me, who know me, the Supreme Lord, to be the governing principle of the material manifestation of the demigods and of all methods of sacrifice, can understand and know me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even at the time of death.
So Krishna is giving a summary here now, like that, a summary. We need a purport too? Probably do. Persons acting in Krishna consciousness are never deviated from the path of entirely understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the transcendental association of Krishna consciousness, one can understand how the Supreme Lord is the governing principle of the material manifestation and even the demigods. So maybe we deviate, right? We eat too much, or we eat too little, or we too heavy in our administrative activities, or we're too critical, or we're not critical enough, right? But what do? We go and apologize to Krishna, Prabhupada. We ask him, did I eat too much today? Didn't eat a little? Why am I sleeping too much? Was I really too heavy with this person? You know, or wasn't I really firm enough? Too kaya? So we're still Krishna conscious. We're deviated, right? Deviated, but we're still conscious of God. We're going to God to correct our deviation. So eventually, in that association, we'll understand that Krishna is the governing principle of all material manifestations, even the demigods. Gradually, by such transcendental association, one becomes convinced of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At that time, and at the time of death, such a Krishna conscious person can never forget Krishna. Naturally, he thus is promoted to the planet of the Supreme Lord Goloka Vrindavan. This seventh chapter, here's your summary, particularly explains how one can become a fully Krishna-conscious person. The beginning of Krishna consciousness is association of persons who are Krishna-conscious. Adoshvada, sadhu sangha, vajana kriya. Such association is spiritual and puts one directly in touch with the Supreme Lord. And by His grace, right, His divine grace, one can understand Krishna to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Not the son of Maharaj Nanda, not the lover of the curly-haired Radharani, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yeah, this is the beginning. You understand Krishna's greatness, material greatness. At the same time, one can really understand the constitutional position of the living entity. It goes together. Who is God? Who am I? And how the living entity forgets Krishna and becomes entangled in material activities. By gradual development of Krishna consciousness in good association, the living entity can understand that due to forgetfulness of Krishna, he has become conditioned by the laws of material nature. He can also understand that his human form of life is an opportunity to regain Krishna consciousness, and that it should be fully utilized, fully utilized, to attain the causeless mercy of the Supreme Lord. Many subjects have been discussed in this chapter. The man in distress, the inquisitive man, the man in want of material necessities, knowledge of Brahman, knowledge of Paramatma, liberation from birth, death, and diseases, and worship of the Supreme Lord. However, he who is actually elevated in Krishna consciousness does not care for the different processes. This is very important. So, basically, Prabhupada here is rejecting Bhagavad Gita. Yeah, or no? Oh, lost him there. Yeah, be careful. Yeah. Read it again here. However, he was actually... many things have been discussed. The man of distress, inquisitive man of want of necessities, knowledge of Brahman, knowledge of Paramatma, liberation from birth, death, disease, and worship of the Supreme Lord. However, he was actually elevated in Krishna consciousness and does not care for the different processes. He simply directly engages himself in activities of Krishna consciousness and thereby factually attains his constitutional position as an eternal servitor of Lord Krishna. As such, in such a situation, he takes pleasure in hearing and glorifying the Supreme Lord in pure devotional service. He is convinced that by his doing so, all his objectives will be fulfilled. This determined faith is called Dridha Vrata and is the beginning of Bhakti Yoga, or transcendental loving service. That is the verdict of all scriptures. The seventh chapter of Bhagavad Gita is the substance of all of that conviction. Right? So Bhagavad Gita is the ABCs, you know, like that. You know? But you know, how many monkeys typing for how many years would it take to produce the works of Shakespeare by chance? Well, it depends how fast they type. Yeah.
Maharaj, they've actually completed that experiment on the internet.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's not, what's it called? It's not a converging set.
Yeah.
Not necessarily a converging set. Yeah, go on typing forever, you know. So just because you know ABC doesn't mean you can write the works of Shakespeare. Right? To be or not to be, that is the question. Oh, is it? Yeah, that's the question. Bhagavad Gita is the same question. To take arms against a sea of Kauravas and by opposing in them. Or to die, to sleep, perchance to dream. Ah, there's the rub. For who knows what dreams may come after we have shuffled off this mortal coil. Gives pause to reflection. And the native hue of resolution is sicklied over with a paler cast of thought. Yeah. Yeah? Yeah. So this is the point. Arjuna wants to make this decision. He wants to walk away. He wants to go sleep. He wants to die. He wants to commit suicide with a bare bodkin. Okay? All you English majors here, where are they? What's a bare bodkin? What is a bare bodkin? Your English major. Who would suffer the proud man's contumely? Who would fardels bear? What are fardels? if but with a bare bodkin.
Sounds like
naked. it's a medium-sized knife, like that. There you go. Okay. Yeah, you got a lot to learn. Yeah, about bare bodkins and fardels, right? Fardels are wood for burning, for like that, thatch like that. So you just kill yourself. Finished. No more problems, no more anxieties, no more worries about all these things. You could do some other way if you want to. So who would suffer all these things? Embarrassment, for you falling from your position, having to carry firewood, all these things. If but with a bare bodkin, he could his own quietus make. Yeah. But you have all these different thoughts coming afterwards. You don't die. You take it all with you. Right? He says, I would count myself king of infinite space, bound up in a nutshell. If only I did not have bad dreams. The Dalai Lama says, the suffering of the mind is far greater than the suffering of the body. Right? Yeah, the pain you could suffer because of your mind is far greater than the pain you suffer because of your body. Like that. Yeah? So this is the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. In the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna wants to walk away from this situation. He doesn't want to have to kill his uncle, like Hamlet. Hamlet had to kill his uncle and just call his mother something I can't say in public like that, you know, what he was calling her, and I had to tell her what she was acting like, you know. Actually, you're a royal bitch, is what he had to tell her, basically like that. And you didn't want to tell your mother that, right? But he was forced to say how she was acting, you know. She was rather a young wife, and her husband had died, and then she got remarried, right? And Shakespeare says, the cooked meats from the funeral feast did but do double duty as cold cuts for the wedding feast. Yeah, that's how quick she was out of one bed into the other, like that. So he had to call her what she was, like that, and bring her to her senses, you know. And he didn't want to do that, you know. And then he had to kill his own uncle, right? So Arjuna has to kill his grandfather, he has to kill his sifu, his martial arts teacher, and his cousins and everything else. Doesn't want to do it. He wants to take a bear bodkin and kill himself. He wants to go sit in the forest and chant japa, you know, and hover or something, you know. But he takes his karma with him, his mind with him. He can't do it. You know, he's too disturbed and distressed by his own nature. You know? So it's a very high philosophical lesson. But on the road of progress, it's going from being a karmi to being a jnani to being a karma yogi. You have fruitive activities, you know, fruitive activities, following any old damn principle to get what you want to. Be karma. Break all the rules. Do anything. Just, you know, win. You know? Might makes right. Okay, higher than that, follow some system of ethics to get what you want. Okay, karma. And then higher than that, well, be a wise man. Think about things. Buddha yoga, jnana. And then start to really concentrate. Think about these things with intensity. Focus on them. Meditation, jnana. Then yoga starts. Right? After being a wise man, after being a meditator, at that point, yoga starts. So karma yoga, right? Relate your activities, you know, to higher principle. Jnana yoga. This is jnana yoga we're doing right now. It's wisdom, acquiring wisdom in service to the Supreme, right? And then finally, jnana yoga, meditating on these things, focusing, getting them so clear that you know these things, even the time of death, right? At the time of death, you're going at 175,000 miles an hour towards 8,320 species of life. It's almost the same. 8,400,000 different doors are in front of you like that, right? Like Darth Vader, and Darth Vader's chasing you in your X-Wing starfighter. And in front of you, there's 8,400,000 different holes in the galaxy. And only one of those, I guess, leads out of the place like that, right? You know? So we were coming down an airplane one time when I was a child from Seattle into Sacramento, California. And, you know, fasten your seatbelts, return your tray table to the upright position, all this kind of thing. We're going down, bouncing through the fog. And then it's all foggy outside, you know. And the pilot couldn't see anything. You know? So then finally, I'm wondering, finally, this the last minute about, I counted, it was something like 1,001, 1,002, 1,003, 1,004, 1,005, 1,006. We hit the runway at that. So he had 6 seconds from the time the fog cleared before he hit the runway. So if he was like 50 feet to the left of the runway, this nice, soggy, wet, you know, Sacramento rice fields, you can, oops, it's like, you know, maybe you can get back on course, but most likely if you're finished. So he was trusting his instruments, trusting guru, right? You know? So we have to get this knowledge, not just like theoretically, not just, we have to get it at the time of death when everything is disturbed. This is jnana, jnana mishra bhakti yoga. Eliminate all the extra knowledge you don't need. Get it down to what you can actually use. Perfect it. Past 50, your short-term memory starts going. Right? Past 50, you can't remember new things as well. Right? Close the door there. Yeah. The monkeys will come in. Yeah. Yeah. So past 50, your short-term memory starts to fall apart. Is that a bad thing? No, it's nature's way of telling you, you already know enough. You can learn some new things, but you already know enough. God, how much do you know? How much do you have to know?
It's like, nice to know.
Yeah. No, it's a fact. It's a fact. See, you learn something in this. You don't become discouraged by jara. You escape from jara. You realize it's very nice. Yeah. Because I mentioned this before. If you just, you know, how many people, how many names do you know? For example, if I just gave you a list of names, how many of these people were president of the United States, you could probably identify many of them. Many, many of them. So how many people do you know? Right? And each of those people, how much could you write about each person like that? How much could you write about your aunt? Yeah, right? So how much do you know? If you had to put it into like, you know, make a 10-point library of books, it'd be a lot of books, right? Yeah? Don't you know enough? But that's not the problem. Jnana yoga. Now we're talking about dhyana yoga. Start to put it to work. Start to concentrate. Start to make it practical. Many times jnana yoga is translated as also included in jnana yoga. But now it's vijnana yoga. Really, really knowing it. Not just do you know this, do you know that, but not, yeah, I know this. You know, with concentration, detail, accuracy. That's what meditation means. You know, knowing with knowledge, concentration. And so because of the time of death, it's very intense pressure. You got, you know, there's 8,400,000 doors in front of you. You're going at 175,000 miles an hour, and Darth Vader is shooting at you from the back. And you've got to know. You've got to know, baby, which one of those doors is yours. Tripikram Maharaj, before he was a devotee, he was in the Navy. And they said they would have these drills at 1 o'clock in the morning. The captain would, you know, run them through a drill, and all of a sudden, you know, the warrant officers drop smoke grenades down into the where they are and where their bunks are, and the sirens start going off, you know, battle stations, you know, and they fire, you know, and then the smoke grenades are in the hallways, the lights are blinking off, the main lights don't work, you know, 25 degrees to the port, full ahead, and suddenly you're tossed out of your bed, which you're ready for, onto the floor. And battle stations. This is a simulation of what actually happens in real life at the time of death. Or a battle. And they go through it again and again and again and again until you know it in your head. No, you know it by heart. You just, you know, had no time to think. You just had to know this, you know. So his job was to get to the stairway somehow or other, get up the stairway, and halfway up the stairway the whole ship goes to the right, and you find yourself, your feet are above your head. You're holding on with your hands, which you've been trained to do. You get up. He had to sit down in one chair, get himself strapped in. Then it was the guys are yelling below at him, you know, powder magazine to the so-and-so, okay, Chef 7. And these gigantic shells about half the size of his room would come up. He had to push a button to make them go in, pull it back. Up come the powder behind it, push it in, pull it back. Somebody else is up there screaming to get the gun turned the right direction. Push the trigger. Okay. Draw. You know. But that's what you, that's how you have to know Bhagavad Gita. Yeah. Are you ready? No, probably not. I'm not ready either. But we're practicing. Jara Mara Vimokshaya. You have to actually know this. And so it's a process like that. And Dhyana Yoga is when we're coming to this point, we really know this focus. So Bhagavad Gita is part of this. Right? You know, Bhagavad Gita is trying to teach us about the demigods, about, you know, the Paramatma, about Krishna as the cause of all causes, God, all these things, about deviations in terms of impious activities, impious people, you know, all these different kind of deviations. Krishna goes back and forth, back and forth. He talks about the goal, and he talks about the deviation. He talks about the goal, the deviations, right? We have to understand both. You know? And then we begin to understand, you know, that Krishna in Bhagavad Gita basically is presented as a Paramatma. He's not presented as a lover of the gopis or anything else like that. It's there, but it's just two verses, just in passing. You know, where are those verses? Where is Krishna revealed as a beautiful person like that, that we can love out of physical beauty? Yeah, yeah. After he shows the universal form, then he shows his forearm form, then? Somyavapu, a very beautiful form, so beautiful that God, the gods in heaven are all their power are hankering to see this form. So it's there, but it's not the emphasis. Right? You know, that goes in here, and it's like you've got 18,000 verses to go through like that to come to that point. So Prabhupada is saying that a person of Krishna consciousness, how can we come to that platform? Why is Prabhupada even suggesting this? How can we come to that platform of appreciating Krishna as a lover of the gopis? Right? How can we do that? Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhupada. Huh? Well, yeah, especially Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhupada. By the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. It's talking again and again by grace. By His grace. What do we call the guru? His divine grace. Whose divine grace? Krishna's divine grace. Talking about association. That's the real process. Out of vanity, we want to do our yoga alone. We want to be very proud of how I've accomplished these things. What is the most difficult yoga posture? For 10,000 points. With that less than 10,000 points, you can't prasadam afterwards. Yeah. You know, what is the most difficult yoga posture? Who knows?
Controlling the mind?
Posture, asana. No. Dhanyavad. Yes, dhanyavad, laying flat out, is the most difficult yoga posture. Prabhupada says it's very rare to find a yogi who can do this. Because they're so proud. Usually most yogis are very proud in this system. I can twist, like, I'm so flexible. I only eat raw foods. I can control my mind. Oh, you know? Yeah? So we have to get free from this. And associating with other people is such a powerful thing to destroy the ego and everything else like that. Yeah? So this is what Prabhupada's talking about again and again. In the association of devotees, then this knowledge grows. But it's fundamental knowledge. Krishna is the core cause of all things. He's Adibhuta, Adidaiva, Adiyagna, Adhyatma. All these things. You have to know Him as this. Yeah? Not just by itself, but Him as this. These things. Right? If know God as the cause of all causes. God as the object of all sacrifice. God as our maintainer. Our friend. And therefore, then the human form of life, you don't work for Micron. Right? You don't work for Hewlett Packard. You don't work for the city. Right? You just go ahead and engage in sacrifice like this. Right? You know, every company, they say, don't worry, we're going to send you to school now. We pay for the accommodations, we pay for the school, we pay for everything else. Because now you can go to some higher service. That's a human form of life. If you've got a human body, you know, the employer is willing to pay for your education. Understand? Yeah. So therefore, if you need money or anything else like that, it's going to be arranged. Right? My God, you know, I lost my job. I thought it was horrible. But then 15 minutes later, I got a new job. It was better. Yeah, this is what you should expect. Right? Now I have sufficient time to do my yoga. Well, why am I at work anyway? To preach to other people, to give them association. Like that. You're going to control my senses. Yeah. Our only purpose in the human form of life is to, you know, to understand Adibhuta, Atiya, Adiatma, Adiyagna. That there is a God, He's behind everything, He's controlling everything, He's my friend. You know? But, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita, Gadadhar, Srivas, and all the rest of the devotees, then we can taste this high experience right away. And once that lighthouse is there, faro, right, then it's very easy to go through all these things. Right? I'm out in the ocean in my little boat. There's like about, you know, coming down the coast of California here, and, you know, my little boat. I'm doing very well. My crew of 6-8 people, and I want to get inside the bay in Eureka, and my little wifey is there. It's an Irish song. The fire's burning in our house, and it's so cold out here, with fog blowing, and she's there in the house with a hot meal cooking, waiting for me, and stuff like that, and I'm meditating on this. But I'm still out in the ocean, Pacific Ocean, so I have to get into the bay, right? But it's a very, 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 you know, fast-moving south current. I know that. So I head right to the northernmost part of the bay when I go in, and the current washes me right to the south, but I make it. Then there's some rocks I have to avoid, I know that, cut around that. Then I got to see which pier the tax collector's on tonight, right? Okay, if he's on Pier 6, I'm heading for Pier 3, you know? And I fill my forms out, and then, okay, up the hill is a lighthouse, and below the lighthouse is my little cottage, and my warm fire, and my warm socks, and hot dinner, and, you know, have a good heart waiting for me. Okay, you know. So, you know, Jnana Mishra Bhakti, Karma Mishra Bhakti Yoga, Jnana Mishra Bhakti Yoga, Jnana Mishra Bhakti Yoga, Bhakti 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 Yoga. Right? You got to do the right thing. You got to get the chicken out of your icebox. You got to get the, you know, tobacco out of your top left pocket. You got to, karma. You got to do the right thing. Why? Because you know where you're going. You had a taste. Somebody else hasn't got that taste. So they're just doing karma. They know, well, if I do this, it'll take me to a higher level. But I don't know what the ultimate goal is. By Lord Chaitanya's mercy, we can get experience. Chant Hare Krishna, and you have a taste of what it is to be this free from selfish motivation, to love God, you know, association of devotees. But it's a taste. It's a vacation, you know, right? All expense paid vacation. for 5 minutes, or more than that, less than that. So then you do purify your activities, karma, mishra, bhakti, yoga. Then you purify your knowledge, understand things properly, jnana, mishra, bhakti, yoga. But for this purpose, right? And then you go ahead and you start meditating. How do we meditate? Specifically, everything has to become meditation. Everything. Yeah, especially when you do job, chant the beads like that, very constitutive fashion. Kirtan is group meditation like that. And you really understand, you know. And then finally you come to the point of, okay, I'm doing with knowledge and focus the right thing, but why? Bhakti. Yeah. Then you start to purify your motive directly, the science of changing your motivation. Yeah. And then you finally come back to loving Krishna. Right? Yeah. And everything else is just automatically included. So that's kind of my, where are we? We finished the whole thing? The whole purport? 7:30? Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And Papa says the beginning is this dridhavrata. That appears back in text number 28. Yeah? 28 he says, Yesham tvanta gata papam. Yesham tvanta gata papam. Jananam punya karmanam. Te dvandva moha nirmukta. Bhajate mam dridhavrataha. Mr. Mayavadi, give us some different interpretation. I would say bhajate mam dridhavrataha means worship me with determined vow. So give us some other breakdown of the words like that. Yeah, it's pretty clear. You know, but you know, you can, if Prabhupada calls it word jugglery. Word jugglery, you know.
Mom means me.
He means the principle of me. The mom, me means the, he's not talking about me, he's talking about the, he's standing in front of you saying me, but it doesn't mean the principle, means the principle of me, yeah, the concept of me, like that. Please give me some water, okay? Well, here's some water for the concept of me. You know. So, this is his point again, Prabhupada's point. The Krishna is saying, worship me. And again, for probably most people here, this is a very low level of philosophy. Through your evolution for many lifetimes, most people here are probably at a higher level of comprehension than Bhagavad Gita. You know, like that. Yeah? But still, we're making progress. You have to go over the basics again and again. I have every suspicion that Tchaikovsky practices his piano scales. Right? And the most advanced master, Zane Grey, you know Zane Grey? Yeah, he wrote more books than any other person in the world. More different titles, like that. But he would devour manuals of style. As soon as he found a new book, if somebody wrote on how to write, he would just read it. He would read, you know, 2 or 3 books a month about how to write. Right? Greatest, one of the greatest authors in the world. His books are good, too. And very authoritative. Yeah. So, we'd go over the basics again and again and again. You know, get better and better at them. Right? Yeah. So, any final questions then? Comments? Yes, sir.
I was just thinking that the Mahabharata presents characters that are actually on the different levels of Vikarmi.
Yeah.
Like Duryodhan, there's like Vikarmi completely engrossed in doing the results.
What do you mean? I didn't do anything wrong.
That's right.
That was Duryodhana's opinion of himself. Well, he tried to poison Bhima. Well, he was an ass. He always tried to beat on us and everything else like that. Puffed up guy. You know? What did I do wrong? So, anyway, so you see, by reading these stories, you can take these things to heart and see how it all fits together in a very active sense, like that. So you go deeper and deeper in the stories. Yeah. Yes, sir. Yeah.
You were saying that the Bhagavad Gita, that to the degree we are more advanced than that, fully understanding, but I thought that because we're in Kali Yuga, that the Bhagavad Gita was primary understanding for, because of the
basic philosophy in that. And again, there's no limit to how deep you can go into Bhagavad Gita, you know, like that. You know. But Srimad Bhagavatam is, well, again, once you understand Bhagavad Gita basically, again, it's like, you know, any sport or anything else, he teaches the basic moves, you know, on a bicycle and stuff like that. Then he wants you to just go ahead and start doing it. Because now you start doing these things better and better, you know, like that. You know, again, they teach you how to sail a boat around the bay, and they take you out in the, or the car. Teach you how to drive a car on the parking lot. But it's not you're supposed to spend your whole life driving your car around the parking lot. You know? Because once you get out on the street, then you just, now you start, ooh, get up, you know, more concentration, let me get this down a little better and stuff like that, and the braking and the distance and stuff like that. Because now it's like the traffic's here and, you know, yeah.
So would it be fair to say that since we're in such a degraded age,
yeah,
that the Bhagavad Gita is a focal point to reverse the degradation, and then we slowly move up the echelon?
Yeah, and that's why, you know, Bhagavad Gita probably primarily you see all Prabhupada's preaching encounters, he's preaching Bhagavad Gita like that, you know, because that's where most people are at, yeah, you know, stuff. But you see he's doing it in such an expert way, presenting it in such a way, and the person can feel, ah, there's so much depth. And Prabhupada says, you're not the body. It's, you know, you can, seems this person knows that, you know, like that. You know, it's like taking, you know, to drive around the parking lot with, I don't know whose name famous, was it Graham Hill, you know. You know, these world famous drivers, you know, taking you around the parking lot, and you begin to realize this guy knows about it. You know, so you'd be very inspired then to go ahead, you know. But then Prabhupada gave us, you know, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna book, you know, Chaitanya Charitamrita. And what do you find in Krishna book? Again and again and again, Prabhupada's, you know, citing Bhagavad Gita, you know, like that. Yeah. Now the gopis, when the gopis think of Krishna, his beautiful form, what is the first thing they think of? His smile.
His
lotus feet. Yes, even the gopis, they start with Krishna's lotus feet, but their meditation on Krishna's lotus feet is much more intense than ours. The utilization for those feet. You know, the higher you want to make your building, the more substantial has to be your foundation, right? See, so it's just, it's not never lost. You just keep Bhagavad Gita more and more and more until you're just flipping it, you know, pages and everything else. You know, and the purports, they're very deep. And Vishnu Chakravarti talks about what Krishna's thinking about, what Arjuna's thinking about, and you go on reading like that, you'll experience that. But why does Krishna talk about this? You're reading, and he's, you know this, you know, because you see, all adi atma, adi buddha, adi daiva, this is, you know, these, you know, okay, predominating deity. So he's very, you know, appreciates very deep intelligence. So you start appreciating more and more like that, you know, and you can use it better to fight your own way to freedom, like that, you know, and then to fight, help other people too, you know. But yeah, Bhagavad Gita is our basic philosophy, you know, like that. Yes. Oh, good.
The Srimad Bhagavatam, it's amazing. Prabhupada translated everything in English in a few years.
Yeah.
In my mother tongue, the South Indian language,
yeah.
I guess a few centuries ago, it took like three people to translate the Srimad Bhagavatam in Sanskrit to their mother tongue.
Is it Tamil?
No, Telugu.
Oh.
Three people, Mannaya, Pitkanaya, and that's three famous Sanskrit scholars.
Yeah.
Them, three lives for people to translate it.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. And also you see many times he says ecstatic, you know, which is higher? Pure devotional service, spontaneous devotional service, ecstatic devotional service, or regulated devotional service. Probably uses these terms very specifically. He maintains these. Which is the highest? The beginning is Vaidhi Bhakti, regulated devotional service. And then you come to Raganuga Bhakti, which Prabhupada translates as spontaneous devotional service. Then Bhava Bhakti, which he translates as ecstatic devotional service. And then Prema Bhakti. And I guess, you know, at one point I really saw this in the Nectar of Devotion. Then I began to see that he was maintaining those translations, you know. You know, so he's using English, but he's using those terms. As he's talking about, then the devotee comes to ecstatic devotional service. You say, oh yeah, this is talking about that. It's not talking about pure devotional service. It's talking about ecstatic devotional service at this point. Oh, that's okay, now I see. You know, nishta, adoshrada, sadhusanga, bhajana, kriya, nartha, nivritti, nishta. Yeah. What percentage Krishna conscious are you when you come to nishta? 5%, 75%, 85%? Yeah, I was for one of these lectures on Bhagavatam, and Prabhupada's talking about Nasta Prayashu Abhadrishu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttamashlokair Bhakti Bhavati Naishtiki. This is in the second chapter, first canto. Naishtiki, fixed, like that. He says, this means not falling down away from principles and coming back. No, he said, fixed. So it didn't mean when you come to this platform, you're more or less 75% Krishna conscious. Yeah? Okay, so you go on acquiring more and more your knowledge about the whole thing, right? You know, which is going to be a greater science, chemistry or theology? Yeah, it takes a lot to be a chemist. Any chemist, physicist, geologist, right? So to really be a theologist, really, all these other sciences are included. You know, so it's a lot to understand the science of theology. Well, it's not, but it's the most substantial substance. Yeah? What does a fact mean? What's the origin of the word fact? I heard this from David Bohm, one of Einstein's contemporaries, a physicist. Because scientists are interested in facts. We're not like theologians, we're interested in facts. What is fact? You know? It means to make, as in manufacture, to make by hand. Yeah, see, all your facts are made up. Yeah. So this is what he discusses in chapter 7, right? What can you know? The Paramatma. Everything else is insubstantial. Yeah, like that. So it's very, you know, very nice book, you know, Bhagavad Gita, and always should form a part of our study. But again, we have this whole proportion here, and Prabhupada says that nobody can take everything the spiritual master is offering. Like that. So it's one of our principles of knowledge is you're not going to understand everything that's available in here. Right? You know, like that. But you have to take different ways and build your own boat, get the sails up, and take as many people on board as will fit and go across the ocean to find Krishna. And if you know Krishna, one time they had this, it was in Philadelphia, and so many people there, probably was there like 400 people like in the Sunday feast. And it turned into this thing where people, they would always asking questions, kind of challenges and stuff like that, and probably would just like, you know, deal with them one after another, and then all the boys would go, you know. People were even coming up kind of just to challenge Prabhupada, just out of that spirit, you know. So the one guy said, you know, I said, do you know, what's his name? Do you know Baba Ramdas? No, not Baba Ramdas. Do you know Mir Baba? Like that, famous guy before. You know. Do you know Mir Baba? And Prabhupada said, there are so many bogus babas. What do I need to know them for if I know Krishna? Yeah. So if once we get enough knowledge to know Krishna, and if we know Krishna, then all of our knowledge problems are solved. Like that. So there's a beautiful library, you know, and acquire these books, acquire a community in which to study them, yeah? Develop some enough wisdom, right? You know, to be able to get out of this bodily concept, to take your little boat across the ocean, right? Along with your friends. Shrimad Bhagavatam ki. Shrimad Bhagavatam ki. Janai Charitamrita ki. Krishna book ki. Life of Bhagavatam ki. Gaurapa Manandi Hari Hari Bol. Okay. So tomorrow morning, too, the class, no? One last class tomorrow morning.